Mocha v'chaka chochal. Right at the top of Lam Beis Rav. Mocha v'chaka chochal. If somebody was moichel, the meaning that the Kohen was mochel the truma. Now this is talking about a case where somebody already eaten truma improperly, and he set aside the Kohen l'chomish for it, and then he ate it again, right? But he ate it again after the Kohen was moichel. The Kohen said, "Hey, you keep it for yourself." So pluza Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. There's machlokas Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. What happens next? The spalgu and they had a machlokas like this. Gaza truma mishal avi imo Kohen umes a Yisrael who stole truma from his grandfather was a Kohen, right? His mother's father, and then the grandfather dropped dead, and he inherited. Somehow there were no other heirs. He inherited the grandfather. Rabbi Yochanan mar mishal mishavet. Rabbi Yochanan says he pays the shevet, meaning he can, even though technically speaking he inherited the truma, he can't keep it. He's got to pay out truma to somebody else. Reish Lakish omer mishalim latzmo. Shlaki said he pays to himself. In other words, he gets to keep it. So the same thing by mochel v'chaka chochal. If the coin was mochel the payment and then the guy ate it, so then the same machlokas would apply. The question is whether he has to pay to the kohen or not. It's going to be the same machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan would say he has to pay to a kohen because he ate truma, and he's not supposed to. Let me speak about that in a minute, or so, less than a minute. Reish Lakish says he pays for himself, meaning he gets to keep it. Now the chomesh, however, we're going to see later in the parakas regardless. Chomesh is like a korban. It's kapara money. So since kapara money, even if you get to keep the keren, the principal, the chomesh got to pay out. That's not the subject of discussion here. It's only the principal. The issue is whether you, as Yisrael, can inherit or stake a claim as a result of mechila to the principal. But chomesh, you must always pay. The fifth is always kapara money, and that has to be paid out regardless. Okay? That's not up for discussion right now. I'm Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah said, Kachia meshiv Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. This is how Reish Lakish would respond to Rabbi Yochanan. Al daitcho, the temer mishal meshev, the coin to you says that there's a concept that you always have to pay money to the tribe of Kohanim regardless. Then we learn later, we'll see later this evening. Ganav trumas hekdesh v'achala. If you steal truma which belongs to hekdesh and you consume it, mishalim shnei chomashim, you pay 2/5. Now this is going to be a topic later on whether it's actually 2/5 or not, but be that as it may, right now it seems that you pay 2/5, 1/4 truma, because truma requires 1/5, and the other for me'ila, because me'ila requires 1/5. So it's truma which belong to hekdesh, got a double whammy. You got to pay karen plus chom, karen plus 2 chomshin. Now Reish Lakish asks, "Vishalim shloisha." Reish Lakish says, "According to you, I have a 3rd chomish." This is a very lumdisha question. Reish Lakish says like this: look, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, if a guy eats truma, even if the truma belonged to no kohen, belonged to hekdesh, still hypothetically, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the tashlumin must then be made to the tribe of Kohanim. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said previously. If you, your grandfather's truma, which you inherited, you still have to pay out money to the tribe of Kohanim. That means that there's a claim which Kohanim have. Even though the truma belongs here to Hekdesh, the Kohanim can claim the payment directed to them. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, it's hypothetically conceivable that there should be a 3rd payment here. What would be the 3rd payment? Let's say the guy who ate the truma of Hekdesh then took a false oath. He was Nishbal HaSheker. He said the Kohanim came, the Kohanim Inc. came. They sent a lawyer. The lawyer sued and said, "You owe us truma." And the guy lied. He took an oath and he lied and said, "I don't owe you anything." Then it turned out he was lying. So halacha is that a Shvua Sheker, you bring a Keren V'chomesh. You bring the principal plus a Chomesh. So here too, they should have to pay the person who ate the truma of Hekdesh and then lied under oath should have to pay an additional chomesh. One to Hekdesh, one to the Kohanim, and an additional one for having lies to take a Shmuel Sheker. Says, I mean, according to me, it's not difficult. Because I hold that the Kohanim don't necessarily have a claim. Remember, Reish Lakish said, it's not difficult to me. Because I hold the Kohanim don't necessarily have a claim. The proof of the pudding is the case where he inherited the grandfather. We inherited the grandfather, so then I say, you know, if he ate it, he doesn't have to pay out the principal because it belonged to him. He has to pay out the 5th. So he holds that the Kohanim don't have any inherent claim. So therefore there's nobody to whom to take a shvua, because you don't make a shvua to Hekdesh. You only make a shvua to human beings. But according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, that there's an inherent claim which the Kohanim have on the Truma, so there should be a third Chomesh, the Chomesh for Shvuas Sheker, right? That's conceivable as well. So Vishalim Shloisha, Rabbi Yasser, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, HaToyra Omra Bo. So Rabbi Yochanan responded that the Torah said bo, the word bo, yotzi de gzela, with one payment, your yotzi your chiva gzela. There's a cryptic answer. It's not even clear the maskana what it means, but the one is going to explain it in a little detail in a few lines. Amalei Rabbi Zila Rabasi, Rabbi Zila said to Rabasi, Tarte Milan Amrei Vishem Rabbi Yochanan. You said Rabbi Yasa is Rabbi Yasi, right? Yasa is his Yerushalmi name, Asi is his Bavli name. Rabbi Zira said to Rabbi Yasi, Tarte Milan Amrei Vishem Rabbi Yochanan. You said two things in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Vilei Satun Amrin Len, and you never said them, meaning you never explained them. Okay? And you stated them, but you never explained them. I'm Rishon Rabbi Yochanan. You said the name Rabbi Yochanan Yotze Bo Yidei Gzela, that you Yotze your Gzela with one chav, with one payment. V'leis Hatunami. You never explained what you meant by that. I'm Rishon Rabbi Yochanan. Send the name Rabbi Yochanan another time, but by Pora Aduma, the Mokum Shchitas Hashem Teisrei Fosa, the place you shecht the day you should burn it. V'leis Hatunami. And you never said Ma'u Kedom. What's going on there? So says the Gemara. I'll tell you. Rabbi Yasi, it seems, responds. I'll explain both of them. V'nasa the coin is a kodesh. Once you give the coin the kodesh, became a shenos nulo yotze yidei gzela. In other words, it's unclear to me 100% what it means, but the gist of it is that once you make a payment to the coin for the truma, that's all you have to make. And there's no additional payment for a shvua sheker. So gzela sakosuf, one payment. Says bo, a single payment. That's it. And therefore, the chumash which you give for the truma, that supersedes any additional chumashim which you might give, including a chumash for shvur sheker. Okay? So there's the extra word bo teaches us that.
So that should also incorporate the mi'ilah,
too. Well, that we'll get to later in the parak. That's correct. You're right. We're going to get that later on. In fact, that will be discussed. Okay? Later tonight. Rabbi Lezer, a few minutes. Rabbi Lezer, Shem Rabbi Yeshua says, and what's the other thing? About Paraduma. So Al Pirsha, turning the page, Yisrof. On its refuse you should burn it. Bach Mamina, what does it mean? On its refuse, what is refuse? What are we talking about? Rabbi Yerushalayim, Rabbi Ami says, no, that's not the way to dash it. The way to dash it is Bemokom Prishotza Mechaim, in the place where it departed this world, right? Prishotza, where it departed. So Mokom Prishotza Mechaim, Shante Srifasa, that's where you burn it. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan k'Rebbe. Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rebbe. Now, Rebbe held in the previous Gemara, which we didn't see this evening, that the matana, the giving to the Kohanim of the payment, the reimbursement for the Truma, is what is motzi you yurchiv, what exempts you from your obligation. Reish Lakish holds Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, that just separating it exempts you from your obligation. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you have to actually give the Kohanim. You have to deliver it to them. Reish Lakish, all you have to do is set it aside. You don't have to actually have to deliver them, and therefore we had the case by the grandfather who died, and you inherited. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, you still have to give Kohanim the payment. According to Rabbi Reish Lakish, you get to set aside the payment, keep it for yourself, again, apart from the Chomesh. I'm Rabbi Bud Barachia. Vin is bar Reish Lakish k'Rebbe. No, I can even say the Reish Lakish holds like Rebbe. That setting it aside is not sufficient, you have to give it. However, not all the time. When did Rebbe say this? Only b'davar shu zokuk l'itnei l'kohen. Only a sign which you must give to the kohen. Avodavar sheinu zokuk l'kohen, but something which you're not required to give a kohen. Av Rebbe bodei behu. Even Rebbe concedes the point in those things that setting aside is sufficient. What's a case of this ilk? So kahada masnisa. Do you have the word kahada?
Yeah.
Kahada masnisa, like that braisa. What is the braisa? Hivish pigeon peter chamor. Who makes? You set aside a goat or a sheep in lieu of your firstborn donkey. Then the goat or sheep dies. The goat or sheep kicks the bucket before you manage to give it to a kohen. Rabbi Lezer Merchem Bachrayusa. Rabbi Lezer says you have to reimburse the kohen for the dead goat. You have to give the kohen another dead goat as a substitute. You know the goat has no kedusha. We know pichin petach hamor has no kedusha. It's not sacred at all. But you have to reimburse the kohen for it. Kechamesh sloim shoben. Just like pinyan haben. Pinyan haben, if you set aside five sloim and didn't give it to kohen, it doesn't work. In order for pinyan haben to work, it has to be given, actually delivered in the transaction to the kohen himself. Okay? So that's a case where we see it must be delivered. That's a case where Rebbe would say, matno so. You actually have it to give it to a kohen in order to work. If you don't give it over the kohen, it doesn't work. Says you're not chayiv in achrayus of pidyon petach hamor. In this respect, it's not like pidyon haben, but rather pidyon maaser sheni. If you redeem maaser sheni and then lose the money which you set aside for the maaser sheni, it's okay. You don't have to make restitution to the maaser sheni, take additional funds up to Yerushalayim in lieu of the stuff you lost, and eat special Yerushalayim with that. That you don't have to do. So pidyon maaser sheni is a case where you don't have to make additional restitution. That's a case where the hafrasha is sufficient. You don't need the matara. So even Rebbe would concede there are only certain cases, and Peter Petach Hamor is the subject of Machlokas, what it's similar to, there are only certain cases where you have to make restitution, not all cases. Okay? Umodi Rebbe Lezer, Repitri Hamorim, even Rebbe Lezer concedes the point, by a Petach Hamor, Shenoflu Lo, Mibes Avi Imo Kohen, which felt him as a Yerusha from his grandfather, who was a Kohen, became a Shifrishon Kotchu. There, once you set aside the goat, you don't have to deliver the goat. Because who do you have to deliver the goat to? A Kohen. But here, you inherited a Kohen. In other words, the Petach Hamors were inherited, you inherited by the Kohen. So therefore, you inherited from your grandfather for a... Well, the case is like this. Let me just make sure I get this right. This is talking about a case where the Petach Hamors were born in the hands of Yisrael, and they were chayiv and pidyon, and somehow they came to the hands of a Kohen before they were redeemed, and now the Kohen has to redeem them. But if the Kohen redeems them, he gets to keep the goat. So now before the Kohen manages to redeem them, he dies, and now his Yisrael grandson inherits these Hamorim, which have a chayiv pidyon Petach Hamor on them, right? So he has to set aside a goat. His grandfather would have had to also. So he has to set aside a goat. But just like his grandfather would have set aside a goat and kept the goat, so do he get to keep the goat. Okay, and that's what it means. He caught you. Not literally sacred, because there's no sanctity here. We're dealing with pidyon petach hamor. There's no sanctity to the set, to the goat, which is set aside. But the meaning is that in this case, it suffices to set it aside. Even here, everybody agrees you don't need matona. When you need matona, giving it when it's Yisrael who's actually being paid at his own Petach Hamors. But here, where it, at some point it belonged to a Kohen, so then already there's no need for Matana, because it's as if the Matana already took place, even though it didn't actually take place, because the Kohen grandfather died before he managed to get to set aside the proper goat. But it's as if the goat was set aside, and therefore no additional Hafrosh or Matana is required, okay? Just Hafrosh. So the bottom line, after all this is said and done, is that Reish Lakish will claim that according to Rebbe, you don't always need Matana. Sometimes Hafrosh suffices. And it depends what scenario it's dealing with. Even according to Rebbe, right, he would say that when do you need matana? In the case where you had truma, which you ate, which then you have to make restitution for. There, says Reish Lakish, you know what, I personally might hold you don't even need matana in that case. Or even in that case, might be afrosha. But even according to Rebbe, holds you need matana, only in that case you need matana. But in the case which I was discussing before in arguing with Rabbi Yochanan, where you inherited your grandfather who was a Kohen, right? And then you ate the truma which you inherited from your grandfather. So even in that case, even Rebbe concedes to me that no matana is required. Why? Because since I ate truma, which in essence I had already inherited, I don't have to give it over. I just set it aside, I mafresh it, and then get to keep it myself. It's Rabbi Yochanan who argues, not Rebbe. Rebbe would concede the point to me. So Rabbi Yochanan argues and says that even in such case, where you inherit to your grandfather's a kohen, you get the truma, and you eat it, you have to not just be mafresh, but even give the restitution to some other kohen. And remember, that's because Rabbi Yochanan, that the tribe of Kohanim have a claim. Reish Lakish refuses to concede that Rebbe agrees to that point. Okay? Tanya, let's go weiter. Achal Trumas Chaver. If you eat the Truma which belongs to a Chaver, a Kohen who's a Chaver, Meshaim L'Chaver. You give the Kohen who's a Chaver, the Truma has restitution. Chaver means it's a Talmud Chacham. Trumas Amoretz. What if you ate Truma which belongs to an Amoretz? So Meshaim L'Amoretz, you should pay the Amoretz. Says, well, wait. You're not allowed to do that. You can't give Truma Torah to an Amoretz because we're afraid it's going to be Metameh it. Keturosa, so what do you do? No saying Shteim L'Koin Chaver. If you ate, let's say, the Truma of a Chaver and the Truma of Amoretz, right? So you give the Tashlumin, both of them, to the Kohen who's the Chaver. It's not right, because you ate the truma which belongs to Reuven Amoretz. You should have to make restitution to him, right? So it says more, v'noitel d'mei achas man, v'nosin l'koin Amoretz. Then you take the value of one of the trumas and you give it to Amoretz. In other words, you ask the Kohen to whom you gave it to. But you giving a Kohen, you ate a portion of truma from Reuven Amoretz, another portion of truma from Shimon Talmud Chacham. So now you give both portions to Shimon Talmud Chacham, plus the two chomishes, obviously. And then you take from him, he pays you for the truma which you would have given to Reuven Amoretz, and then you give that money to Reuven Amoretz. Okay? You don't give him the truma itself. You give him money which corresponds to the value of that truma. Okay? So that way he's never actually using stuff for truma purposes, which is bona fide truma, which he could be metame as a result.
What about just a standard case where you're not eating his truma, but you're just giving Reuven Amoretz, who's a coin, truma?
You're not allowed to. Now let's give a coin Amoretz truma. You have to avoid it. Give him chulin. You can't give him truma. Okay? Rabbi Boom Brachia, because they're afraid he's metame it. Rabbi Boom Brachia says, that's good according to the opinion which says that frosh is mekadesh it, because you're mafresh it for the purpose of the Amoretz. But according to the opinion which holds that you have to actually give it, not like Reish Lakish, but like Rabbi Yochanan, below Kain Eino Tzarich Zchia, don't you have to give it to the Amoretz? So I wasn't aware of this. It seems like the halacha is that you really must give it to the Kohen from whom you stole it. But it's not just restitution to Kohanim Inc. It's restitution to Kohanim Inc. where the truma didn't belong to any specific Kohen. Where it belonged, where you hadn't yet given it, or where it belonged to Hekdesh, or whatever the case may be. But where you actually took the truma of Reuven Amoretz and ate it, you got to make restitution to Reuven Amoretz. Not to making restitution to Shimon Talmud Chacham doesn't do any good. So that's what you gotta give it to him. How are you giving it to him? So says the Gemara, Amar Lahan, so Reish Lakish said, according to Rabbi Yochanan, says you have to actually give it. You give it to Shimon Talmud Chacham, and you say, here be zoicha in this for Reuven Amoretz. So he's zoch in it, but it never actually goes to Reuven Amoretz, right? It's a legal loophole, right? So Shimon is zoicha for Reuven, but then Shimon gives you money corresponding to that, and that's what you give to Reuven. And I guess Reuven is appeased by this, okay? All right, that's it for that. So yeah, let's go to the next Mishnah. Skipped.
There's two lines here. Must be going back.
I think we're going back. Yeah, back to the Mishnah. Haloch Aleph. Bas Yisroel. By the little Vav. See the by the little Vav? On Laman Aleph, Haman Aleph. It's 3, 6.
Yeah.
7 lines down from the top of the page. Basis shorach shorach truma. Cool case. A girl ate truma. Needless to say, she was frightened by the prospect. V'chachan li sits l'kohen shorach, she immediately went and married a kohen. So what does she do? She has to make restitution. It was too much, never belonged to any specific kohen which she ate. So again, Kohanim Inc. in that case have no claim on this. So she pays the keren chomish to herself. Why? Because now she has the status of a kohen. Mrs. Cohen. If, however, Trumash is Zachaba Cohen Ochla, the Trumash already belonged to a specific Cohen, and we just learned that it has to go back to that Cohen, right? Mishlem is Karen Labailim, then she gives the Karen, the principal, to that owner, the Chomish Latzmo. But the Chomish gets to keep. Because remember, we said the Chomish is separate. Chomish is not a restitution to that individual, but like a korban, kapara money. Well, she can eat herself, eat her own kapara gelt, right? Because she herself is now Mrs. Cohen. So therefore, she doesn't have to give that to the Cohen from whom she took the original food.
Is chomish a kapara or
a knas, isn't it?
It's a knas, but it's a knas, it's a kapara.
No, there's a machlokas in the Gemara whether knas is kapara or knas is something else.
I don't know for sure. I was assuming it was a kapara. But I can't tell you with any degree of certainty, although I know he speaks about it somewhere. Let me see if I can find it.
Before it is a knas.
That's why I'm not sure that it's a kapora.
Yeah, if it's a fine, it certainly would have the same parameters, and maybe it would even clear better on this one.
Distinction. It seems the same.
A knas is not necessarily a kapora.
Kapara is not intended to have the same effect as a korban, it's just to make life miserable for you. So it's a knas. If that's a knas, kapara is not intended to make life miserable, it's actually to bring you back to the community.
I don't know. We haven't seen it, what exactly it is, so I can't say. I don't know.
Why does she keep the chomish? Why doesn't she have to give it to her husband?
Oh, because she can accept truma. She doesn't have to.
So she's on the same level with her husband.
Yeah.
She married a Cohen.
Right. She's on the same level with her husband, as long as she's married to him. Okay? That's the.
And he can't demand it of her.
That might be Mashkona Evet, Mashkona Isha Kona Bailo, but the Gemara's not dealing with that issue over here. We're assuming the case where he's not Makbid. Because they said, I'm Ochel, truma Shari, so he eats truma unintentionally. Mashal and Karen Labailo, he pays the Karen to the owners. The chomish to meet here, and the chomish goes to wherever he wants. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Loi speaker, 3 lines before the Mishnah, on Laman Beis and Beis. Loi speaker, l'shai machin is garsha. It is an unlucky girl. She ate the truma before she got married. And she got married. Then she didn't get to pay until she was divorced. She got divorced already. Isa, what's the halacha in that case? Isa chamele, come and see. Iloi akama maiser shema einan shalah. Any miser which she accumulated of any tevel, this is going according to being now a ton of shlo hurmu kamisha hurmu damyon. Any time a kohen gets tevel, so it's as if he acquired the trumas of miser trumas in it, because matonas which have not yet been lifted, as if they lifted. So if she had several misers, they're hers. So here too, let's say that the sheik should get to keep the principal. Why? It's true, she never designated the principal, but since she could have, so therefore let her keep the principal, even though actually she never set it aside. Says Mari, that's different. Tama Maitzus Musuyomin. There, that's talking about a case where there's specific tangible stuff which is going to be Maitzus. At the very least, the Tevil's in front of you, you know, this is where the Maitzus is coming from. Bramacho Trumainim Siamis, but here, she didn't designate anything which she's going to use to make this payment. So therefore, how can you say that she's zoichan in principle? In other words, in order for her to be zoichan in principle, while she's married to Mr. Cohen, she had to have had something which was designated to be the chulin from which she's going to take the principle. But she never made a designation. She never made a designation, so therefore, it cannot be considered as if she actually set something aside, and therefore, after she gets divorced, she cannot say, well, I'll keep the payment for myself. She has to give the payment to another Cohen. Madamilo, what is this similar to? Petre Chamoirin. It's similar to to firstborn donkeys. So the way the Rambam learns this is, I'm not sure exactly what the similarity is, but the way the Rambam learns this is that an heir who inherited Peter Chamor gets to keep the Peter Chamor for himself, right? We said that, not the Peter Chamor, the goat, right? An heir, we said, if you inherited from your grandfather as a Kohen, right, a Peter Chamor, which has to be redeemed, so when you redeem with the goat, you get to keep the goat yourself. Because there you inherited something specific. But here, she didn't have anything specific. So she didn't have anything specific during the time she was married to Mr. Cohen, so therefore she doesn't get to keep the principal here after she gets divorced. What does she have to do? She has to set aside principal and chomesh and give it to some other Cohen. Okay? Says the Mishnah Halacha Beis. Hamachil, now here we're dealing with a louse. L-O-U-S-E. Not the human variety. Hamachil es Paulavas Orchov Truma. You gave your workers and your guests Truma, but they weren't Kohanim. Who Mishalim es Akeren? He, you, the Balabas, the host, you pay the Karen. Fei Mishalim es Achoimish. You know, this is a right against you, I think. And they pay the fifth, if you're having mayor. Sounds like it's a kapara, because otherwise, why are we counting them in this case? Yeah, it sounds like it's a kapara. They've got to pay both. They have to pay the keren and the chomesh. However, interestingly enough, he pays them the value of their meal. Which is strange. And what I was going to ask them, why is it pay the value of the meal they ate? They ate something awesome, but they ate, so why does they have to pay them the value of the meal? So Gemara's going to discuss that.
This is all, they didn't know what they would...
They weren't, they were all shogeg, right.
So why are they being any kind of...
Aveir b'shogeg is also Aveir. Right? But that's by Truma. That's true. Okay, he'll burn. But they have to get Kapar as well. So says Marahorai, Meir Amar Mishalmin. Rabbanan Amrei Mishalmin. The bottom line is, Rabbanan say... that he pays that they pay the Karen Chomesh. I'm sorry. Rav Meir says he pays the Karen and they pay the Chomesh. And Chachamim say they pay the Karen Chomesh. Well, let me start over again. Rav Meir says he pays the Karen, the Baal, but the owner host pays the Karen and they pay the Chomesh. Right? Rabbanan say they pay both the Karen and Chomesh, but they get reimbursed for the meal. Ultimately, what's the Nafkamina? It seems to be the six of one, half a dozen of the other. What? Well, the Gemara doesn't know that yet. But the Gemara is assuming that it's both the same thing, right? So what's the difference between the two opinions? Ultimately, what's going on is he's paying for the meal, and they're paying for the chomesh, both according to both of them. So Rabbi Meir, Meir Mishalmin. Mina Mabinei, what's the difference between the two opinions? Om Rabbi Yochan Iker Suda Beinayon. I'll tell you, the difference is very little, the truth is. The difference is who's responsible for the meal itself. Rav Meir Amar Ikar Su'uda L'Baal Bayis. Rav Meir says the primary Su'uda is for the Baal Bayis. And Rabbanan Amrei Ikar Su'uda L'Polim. Rabbanan say the primary meal is for the Po'alim. So the truth is it's very different, very little difference between the two of them. The only difference here is that Rabbi Meir holds that the primary meal is the responsibility of the Baal Bayis, the host, and therefore he's got to pay the full Karen of whatever they ate to the Kohanim. Rabbanan say the primary meal is for the workers, meaning they have to pay the Karen. If there's any discrepancy between the Karen, what the value of the food consumed was, and what the value of the suda is, so then that the Baal Bayis is an advantage.
That, I think, is the key distinction. Because Demei Suda does not mean what they ate. It's the value of...
a standard meal for a worker. Exactly. Right. In other words, let's say worker, it's understood that workers get meals worth, they get chves, they get meals worth $5. And this meal is worth $7.50, right? So then there would be enough gemina between Rav Meir and Rabbanon. According to Rav Meir, the Baal Bayit, the meal is the host's responsibility. So it makes a difference if 5, 7, 50, if it's 7, 50, carry 7, makes a difference that the obligation is 5. As long as the expenditure here and the value of the meal is 7, 50, the Baal Bayit says pay 7, 50. According to Rabbanon, however, no. The truth is that the meal is the responsibility of the people who ate it. I should say the Karen, be more precise. Responsibility of people who ate it, which 750 is the responsibility of the workers. Hi, the Baal Bayit has to give them a meal, yes, but he only has to give them a $5 meal. The fact that he gave them an extra $2.50, that's the Poalim's problem. So therefore, the bottom line is, they pay 750 plus the Karen of Chomash 750, and he only pays them $5. Okay? That's nafkamina. Reish Lakish Amar, Tfeilo Beinu. Reish Lakish says the truth is that whatever the value of the Karen is, the Karen is. The difference is, and the Karen, I should say, Reish Lakish doesn't see a distinction between the value of the meal as a Suda and the value of the meal as Karen. They're both the same. However, what about the mustard? The mustard, the condiments. He brings down here the vinegar and the side dishes, the cully. I don't know exactly what cully is, but so I guess some toasted grain, you know, the French fries. So the question is, what exactly, who has to pay for the side dishes? They're not a primary concern in the meal. The condiments is really a better example from our perspective, modern perspective. Who has to pay for the condiments? Condiments not part of the meal. So according to Rabbi Meir, Meir Meretz Feilu Baal Bayit. Meir says the whole meal is viewed as the Baal Bayit, even the condiments. Right? Rabbanan Amrei Tfeilu Pulu Poalim. And the Rabbanan say, nope, the condiments, or I guess the trips to the salad bar, you know, all that kind of stuff, that the Poalim pay, because that is additional, above and beyond, what the Baal Bayit's primary responsibility is. Okay? Ravo B'Shem Reish Lakish. Ravo name Reish Lakish said, what does this analogous do? It's an interesting analogy. I sell you an object. Whoops. Nimtza shein or shelo. Turns out it wasn't my object to sell you. Ah. Shuchayev lamin lomekcho. I have to make you, since you paid me money, I have to find you another object in order to complete the sale. Right? So, I think that's the case here. This is, it seems like this is a price off. Seeing that there's a brisa somewhere. So, yeah. So Rabbi Reish Lakish says that this brisa about Mocher Chavetz Chaver, again, it's not clear where this is coming from. This brisa of Mocher Chavetz Chaver means if I sell you something, and it turns out it's not mine, I have to give you something in its stead. So to here, since the Baal Bayit gave them, going to Rabbi, gave them, well, this is going in Rabbi Meir, right? Since the Baal Bayit gave them the entire meal plus the tefillah, so therefore it's the Baal Bayit who has to pay the Kohanim, not just for the meal, but also for the condiments. In other words, the Baal Bayit gave them the whole spread. So the condiments are not an essential component of the Suda, it doesn't matter. That sounds like that case over there. I gave you, so I represented something as being mine, and sold it to you on that basis, and it turned out to be a lie, right, a falsehood, so none, I have to make full restitution for whatever I represented to you. So to here, I have to make full restitution for whatever I represented to you.
Except the condiments were not truma, were they?
What?
Were they also truma?
No, we're talking about the old truma, right. What condiments? Ketchup, mustard, whatever is made with truma. Okay? Ilukresh lakish is amar nicha. If the coin in Reish Lakish, that's good. Okay, makes sense. Being Rabbi Yochanan, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, Omar Iker Suda Beineo. Wait a minute. Rabbi Yochanan said the difference between is the difference is between Rabbi Meir and Rabbanon is who has to pay for the distinction between what is chayev what as to give as a meal, right, the $5 meal, or does he have to pay for the $7.50 keren, right? So according to Rabbi Yochanan. So how do we understand this brisa? Who's going this brisa going like? Because this means that you have to give full value, right? So who's that going like? So says Mark, Rabbi Meir Isamar. It's going like Rabbi Meir. You know, now in retrospect, let me modify what I said a moment ago. When Rabbi Avoh brings his price in the name of Rish Lakish, I think it can work out both according to Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the price can only work out according to Rabbi Meir. Let me explain. According to Rish Lakish, the difference between Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir is only the condiments. But the whole meal itself, that, for sure, everybody agrees. The whole $750, that for sure, the Baal Bayis has to pay. So therefore, this price could work out according to Reish Lakish, both according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbanan. Because condiments are, right, like, well, literally icing on the cake, right? So therefore, that could be above and beyond. And when it says here, Chayev L'Hamid Lo Mikcho, if I represented something to you and sold you something, basically it was mine, turned out it's not mine, I have to make full restitution. Yes, full restitution, but who says condiments? Who says the other trip to the salad bar you took? That I might not have to make restitution for. So this statement, if it's like Reish Lakish, it could be going both like Rabbi Meir and Rabbanan. However, according to Rabbi Yochanan says that according to Rabbanan, you don't have to give more than $5, right? According to Rabbanan, all the Baal Bayis pays for, in any event, is a minimal meal, right? Whatever the standard going rate is. Right, not for the full meal. So therefore, that can't be going like this price, though. Because this price is saying you have to give fully what you represented. And that would be a $750 meal. Because you represented the entire $750 meals belonging to you. So that's why the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, this price could only be going like Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir is the one who says you have to pay the full $750. Like Rabbanu say you only have to pay the $5. This price is not going to work out. Okay, so again, according to Reish Lakish, who says the machlokas is on the condiments, this price would be going both like Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir. The question is whether condiments are integral or non-integral. But according to Rabbi Yechidon, this price can only be going like Rabbi Meir, who says you pay for the full meal. Okay? Another interpretation of the Mishnah, Shvach Suda Beinehon, that there's a major difference between Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir. He's saying the difference is the quality of the meal. What is that? Bishop Pasaki Moyan Lachilo Dushane Chulin. He made an agreement with them. He's going to give them teglach. I think it's called in Yiddish. Teglach are honey with
dough.
Honey with dough, right. So the honey is not susceptible to truma, right?
Like baklava
or
something.
What?
Something like that.
Whatever. You get the idea. The honey is not susceptible to truma because honey is made from bees. Well, not from bees, but it doesn't grow on the ground, right? The grain is susceptible to truma. So he made an agreement to give them dushari chulin. This honey cookie made of chulin. The chilan dushane truma. And he gave them dushane truma. So in that case, he says, the way he explains it on the bottom is that the dough itself would be worth $5. Okay, I'm just taking figures at random. The dough itself worth $5, but it's mixed in with honey, then it's worth $15, right? Because the honey enhances the dough to such an extent that it's dramatically more expensive. So then in that case, you would say that, let's see, according to Rabbi Yochanan, I guess according to Rabbi Yochanan, you'd pay, according to Rabbi Meir, you'd pay, like this. I think it's the opposite now. I'm making this up because now I realize I didn't understand when I was preparing it. But let's see if this works. That they were supposed to get a meal which was worth $15, right? But the quantity only lost $5, right? Because the dough itself was only worth $5. So avade, the quantity only got $5. Well, let me take $4. The dough was worth $4. The quantity only got $4 plus a chomesh, which is $5, right? Four and one is five. So that's all the quantum are going to get. The shaila is, what do they get reimbursed for? So they get reimbursed to make shvach ludasan. They get reimbursed $15. So that's in this case, according to Rabbi Avo and then Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina, actually Rabbanan are more machmir than Rabbi Meir on the Baal Bais, because according to Rabbi Meir, the Baal Bais doesn't pay them anything. He just gives the $5 to the Kohanim, but the Kohanim lost the value of Truma, right? Because that's what the Kohanim lost. That's the Karen. But according to Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbanan, however, who say that the who knows Saint Lamb the Mesu Dasan, that means they have to give to the Kohanim the people who ate the Palim and the Archim, they have to give to the Kohanim how much? $5. But what does the Baal Bais have to give them? $15. Because that's what he promised them and they didn't get it. Okay? So it actually comes out, we said, in the way we explain in Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish's way of learning the Mishnah, so actually Rabbanan had the Baal Bais pay less. Right? Because according to Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the workers give $7.50 plus a chomesh, and the Baal Bais only gives $5 plus a chomesh. No, not even plus a chomesh. No chomesh, right? Just $5 to the workers or to the guests, right? And according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Reish Lakish, the workers have to pay for the keren and chomesh of the meal plus the condiments. And all the Baal Bais reimburses them is for the meal minus the condiments. And, of course, no chomesh. So, in both cases, the Baal Bais gets all paying less. But according to Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Chanina's pshat, then the Baal Bais actually just pay a lot more. Because the other, according to Rabbanan. Because Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, they pay the $5, which is the loss from Truma, but they get paid by the Baal Bais the full value of this Choshva Michael they were supposed to get. They get paid $15.
Even though it wasn't Truma.
What?
It wasn't Truma that...
So now the Gemara asks the Gemara the obvious question. The Gemara asked, finally, the bottom of Lama Gimel Amad Aleph, the last two words, V'lo Kvar Ochlu. So why do they have to pay the 50 bucks? So why do they get the Meit Suda? So says the Gemara, V'lo Kvar Ochlu. K'man domar tfolin nafshu shlodom choyseh bohem. It's like the opinion which holds that a person eats tevel, it's repugnant to him. So therefore, retroactively, they didn't enjoy their meal. So they didn't enjoy their meal. They feel such a sense of repulsion at their meal. That's why they have to be reimbursed fully for the meal, which is part and parcel of their wages. Okay? Interesting svara. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. Hagoyne Truma. V'lo Achala. This is the fourth line in the Mishnah, on Halacha Beis. A grain of truma v'lochol is somebody who steals truma and didn't eat it. V'shalayin tashlumei kefil. He pays double to make truma for the truma which he stole. Achla, if he ate it, v'shalayin shnei kronim, he pays double plus a chomish, right? Because a thief always pays double, the kefil. Keren v'chomish min achulin. The keren v'chomish which he pays from achulin. And Karen, and then that has to be given actual food stuff. The Karen, the made truma, and the additional Karen, that he can give his money, because that's restitution for theft. It doesn't be given in foodstuffs. It can be given in money or in any kind. Gonav trumas hektish v'chala. If you stole truma which belonged to hektish and then you ate it, b'shalim shnei chomashim, you pay two chomashim, one to the kohanim and one to hektish, for Karen and one principal. Why not kefil she'ein be'ekdish tashlumei kefil? If you steal from ekdish, you don't pay kefil. It's gemara and baba kama. Okay, let's go back to the gemara. Gonav trumas ekdish. Well, we let me give him a base right at the top, right? So you don't have a header, but I have a header. Okay, we're in the second line. I stole the truma ekdish. I'm Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai said. Let's start in Himas Nisa. The Mishnah should be read in two different ways. In other words, it means to include a chiluk which is not the dichotomy which is not explicit in the Mishnah. How so? Yesh bo kazayis vein bo shavar putu. Let's say you steal this Trumas Hekdesh, and there is a kazayis, but there's no pruta. So kazayis is the shear of steal of stealing truma, but a pruta is the shear of meila behekdish. So if there's a kazayis and there's no pruta, rishayim l'shevet, then you give the full payment to the shevet, to the tribe. Yesh bo shaver pruta v'ein bo kazayis. Let's say it does have a shaver pruta, but it doesn't have a kazayis, so there is a meila, but there's no theft from the shevet. Then Mishayim the Kodesh, you give the full payment to Kodesh. What about Yesh Bo Kazayis V'Yesh Bo Pruta? It's got both. It has both a Kazayis and a Pruta, right? So Shimon Bar Vob Hashem Rabbi Yonason said, Mishayim the Kodesh. You still only make one payment. The Keren Chomish goes to the Kodesh. Rabbi Yochanan Mar Mishayim the Shevet. Rabbi Yochanan says you pay the Keren Chomish to the tribe. Amar Rabbi Zira said, why is this? Why don't you make pay twice? So Rabbi Zera said it's Gzeres HaKosav. So Gzeres HaKosav, Ish Ki Yochal Kodesh Bishkoga, if a person eats Kodesh Bishkoga, then Yosaf Olav Chamishi, so he adds his Chomesh on it. L'mokom Sha'keren Mahalech, Shom HaChomesh Mahalech. Wherever the Keren goes, that's where the Chomesh goes. From that we learn also, essentially, that there's only one Keren and Chomesh, okay? So it says here, Chamishisov means there's one Chomesh, and wherever the Chomesh goes, the Keren goes, and therefore they have a Machlokes, that it should only go to one of the two locations, which of the claims, not both, which one is Machlokes. Kahana Mar, Mishalim Shnei Chomoshim. Kahana says, no, you pay two Chomoshim. Chomesh L'Shevet, V'Chomesh L'Hekdesh. You pay a chomesh to the tribe and a chomesh for the hekdesh. You have to pay for both. Okay? Now, the way we paskin, how do we paskin? Don't say. It's open-ended machlokas. Rambam doesn't paskin this one. So we don't know. Shem hekdesh tashlume kefel. So it's a three-way machlokas. Where you get steal truma of hekdesh and it has a pruto and a gezayis, do you pay to one and not the other? And which one? Or do you pay to both? Okay, open ended question. Shem hekdesh tashlumi kefa be the may how do we know is no by tashlumi kefa by hekdesh to receive shlaim shnayim l'reyu to your buddy below the hekdesh. Okay, not the kodesh. There is no tashlumi kefa to hekdesh. Let's go back to Mishnah again. Back to Lamed Beis on the base. Ein Mishalmim. The third to last line in the Mishnah. Ein Mishalmim min aleket min ashicha and peah. You cannot pay from leket, shicha, and peah, and hefker. In other words, when you're making restitution, you have to give from bona fide chulin. Bona fide chulin, which has all meiser, all trumas of meiser taken off of it. This is never susceptible to trumas of meisers. Leket, shicha, peah, and hefker all exempt from trumas and meisers. Furthermore, v'lomi meiserishin shenit la trumaso, not from meiserishin from which the truma was taken. If you're a levi, you can't make restitution from meiserishin, right? Even though truma was taken off of it, and as it did of chulin vis-a-vis the levi, v'lomi meiser sheni v'heklish niftu, nor from meiser sheni v'heklish which are redeemed, even though now they have a din of chulin since they once meiser. Shein hekdesh po this hekdesh divrei meir. Something which was once hekdesh cannot redeem other hekdesh. But achoy matirim beilachoy permit in these. The question is what in these means. So we have machlokas on this. Let's go back to the Gemara. Reish Lakish Amar. We are now where? The last four lines. Lamed Gimel Beis. Reish Lakish Amar al tartin achronaisa. It's only on the last two cases that Rabbanan argue and permitted. Meaning Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni and Hekdesh Niftu. Why Lama Shiesh Bem Zikos Trumas of Meiser? Because they were once in the parsha of Truma Meiser. In other words, you have to take something which had been rectified vis-a-vis Trumas of Meiser and give that to a Kohen. So ever since these were part of the Truma Meiser rectification process, they are liable to serve as raw material for restitution. However, Leket Shichon Peah Ain boim zikas truma meiser. They were never susceptible to truma and meiser. So therefore, they're not susceptible to... it's a question. Sorry. Were they not susceptible to Truma Meiser? What do you mean? Until they became Leket Shechem Peah, they were susceptible. They weren't Leket Shechem Peah until they became forgotten. So until then, they were susceptible. So says Marotai about a case, El Ben Shirosel Peret, as it was falling out of your hands, it became Peret, as you were harvesting it, it fell out of your hands, Oleketabe, and then it became Peret, if it's grapes, or Leket, if it's other grain. Vishachas Komos, where you actually forgot the standing grain, or Peas Komos, where you designated Peah, standing grain in your field. We're talking about these cases, and therefore to talk about those cases, so that's why it was never susceptible to Drumus and Mises, and that is why it is completely exempt, and that is why it can't be used to make the restitution. Okay? Let's go on. I'm down off at the top. Doesn't this resolve Chilfoy's question? By the way, Chilfoy is called in the Bavli Ilfa, and he was a friend of Rabbi Yochanan's. The Chofoy asks, as Leket slips out of your fingers, is that when it comes Leket or when it hits the ground? So here we see, it must be as it slips out of your fingers. Why? Because otherwise there was a moment when it's susceptible to Drumus and Maestros, after it was harvested, before it became Leket. So here we see, it's as you're slipped out of your ground, as it slips out of your fingers. Rabbi Yochanan, Vatanina Leket. Rabbi Yochanan says, it says Leket. In other words, it doesn't become Leket until it hits the ground. So if that's the case, although this is not explicit anymore, the Kafanoki explains that when Rabbanan argue, they argue in the whole Mishnah. And they mean Leket doesn't become Leket until it hits the ground, and therefore was susceptible to Trumas and Maestros at one time. True, it then became exempt. But since it was at one point in the realm of becoming Trumas and Maestros, or having Trumas and Maestros taken off it, before it became Leket, therefore Rabbanan argue in the whole Mishnah. And they say any of these substances can be used in order to make valid restitution to a Kohen for having eaten Truma. Okay? Umar Vatanina Leket. Islach Meimar Peah Leket. So, Islach Meimar Peah Leket. You can say it's saying that Peah in our Mishnah is talking about Peah when you forgot to take it when it was connected to the ground, you gave it after it was severed from the ground. In which case, it's also susceptible to Trumas and Maestros. And Peah they also argue on. Rabbi Yochanan therefore said, Chachamim are matir in all the cases in the Mishnah. They say everything in the Mishnah was susceptible at one point in some fashion to Truma and Meiser, and therefore it can be used to make restitution on individually Trumas and Meisers.
Even
Hefker? Even Hefker became Hefker afterwards. In other words, it didn't become Hefker when it was. It has to be a case where it became Hefker after it was harvested. Not before it was harvested, because then the taka would be exempt, and he couldn't use it to make restitution.
Like
so that's be
Shemitah year.
Right, Shemitah, we're going to learn. Shemitah year stuff you can't use to make restitution. Very good. Right, that's correct. Okay, that's the next Mishnah. Rabbi Lezer Omer. Halacha Gimel. Getting the hang of this, huh? Rabbi Lezer says, V'shalmi mimin al sheino mino. Amazing statement. He said you can make restitution from stuff which is from dissimilar stuff. And the Gemara is going to explain what it means. As long as you take from the better stuff and make restitution on less good stuff. Since it has to be the same type, if you wait squash of Erev Shemitah, you can't make restitution from a squash of Shemitah, right? It's not either because it's not yours. Right, or it's osur, whatever the case may be, because then you can't take another min, because you need min bimino, right? So I have to wait for squash and motzoi shviz, vishalim boem, and you have to pay with them. Mimokam shir Rabbi Lezer mekel, from the same pasuk from which Rabbi Lezer learns his kula, Rabbi Shom Raikim Machmir from the Raikim learns his chumra. Shemit says, Menasan es hakla kohen es hakodesh. You give the kohen the holy stuff. Kosh roi leosos kodesh, diver Rabbi Lezer. Anything can be Kodesh. Anything which can make Kodesh, that's valid. It doesn't have to be the same stuff you ate. Rabbi Akiva Merva Nasan Kohen is a Kodesh. Give the Kohen that which is Kodesh, Kodesh Ocha, meaning that which you ate. Meaning that which originally was Kodesh, but that's Bimin, Bimino. Okay, says Gemara. Haketzah. How does this work? Ochel Yerek. Kuna Rabbi Eliezer. You ate vegetables? Shin Gorgeras, you paid dates? Figs? Grogros, you ate figs? Shin Tamar, you paid with dates? Tavo lo bracha, gesund date. As long as you're getting something more expensive, we don't care. That's fine. Okay, major kiddush. Av ochel bikurim, mao mishalim. What if you ate bikurim? Bikurim is the same as truma. Once bikurim is supposed to be given to the kohen, and you ate them, it's the same like eating truma. What do you pay? Ochel noiv, if you ate grapes, mishalim yain, pay wine. Again, min b'shein amino. Zeisim, you ate olives, mishalim shemen, bring olive oil. Ochel chala. What if you ate chala? Which is also like truma, right? Mao shishalim yipay shlo yivyu shlish. Can you pay, instead of giving dough, can you pay from... So can you pay from grain which is not yet a third grown? It's interesting halacha which we haven't seen yet. But fruit which is not a third grown, even though it's exempt from shumas amaisus, is chayim and chala. So really, the question is according to Rabbi Akiva, because it's min bimino. It is the same dough and grain are the same min. The question is though, is this similar enough or not similar enough? And then whether that's an answer, of course.
So this paris we're talking about, that must be grain that's growing.
Yeah, yeah. Challah, it's challah.
Yeah, I understand.
Challah is peros.
Usually
the term, it's yeah, here it's grain. Right, right. Here, even though it's generic, here it of course means grain.
They're derivatives of each other, so why wouldn't it be considered?
Because it might be too unripe. It's not too do this simple because of its unripe nature. That's why. The only reason why. More than ever, never resolves it.
That's also peros shaloi, which is deemed to be like a not worth a lot. It's low level.
Right, right. Well, you have to give the value anyway, right? It's like you might have to give more, actually, but you have to give the full value.
We're putting a low value on challah.
Right. Challah is a minute amount. It's very small. Okay? Ocha bikurim maushi shalim mechubra lekarka. If you ate bikurim, can you make restitution with stuff which is still connected to the ground? Shekem bikurim niknim b'chubra lekarka. After all, he designated bikurim. You know, it says you go out to the field and you wrap a little string around what you want to designate as bikurim. So maybe just like you designate bikurim when they're still attached to the ground, you make restitution with stuff which is still attached to the ground. The more never resolves the question. Okay, Yanti Kishush Matsoishvist, do you have this header?
Rav Amrin B'Shem.
Okay, no header. Okay, but anyway, going back to the squash. Rav Mishem Rabbonin Tamon Rabbi Amin, the name of the rabbis of Chutzlart said, so Mishmer Shem Mishalmi Paris Chutzlart. You can't pay from Paris Chutzlart because otherwise, bring squash in, drink Shemitah from Chutzlart. I feel the Tamer Shalmin. No, you can even say that you use Paris Chutzlart in order to make restitution for Truma. Mas Nisa Armish Tebat Achlohiti Rabbi Lavi Yerg Mechutzlart. We said in Mishach Shemitah that they all used to not be permitted to bring a fruit from Chutzlart during Shemitah and Eretz Yisrael because of Tumas Eretz Amim. So this is after Rebbe permitted. Lo Amar Telekishun Shem Peres Isser. What it sounds here, sounds in the Mishnah that only squash is you can't make restitution with Shemitah squash because it is Peres Isser because it's Svichim Shem Shviz. It grows when it grows wild, it's prohibited. Midrabbanan or Midrashim according to Manar Svichim is the right song, but it's prohibited. Avodavish and Peros Heter, but if it's Peros, which is Mutter, meaning, let's say, oranges, apples, stuff which grows on trees, which is no problem with Svichim, so then you could make restitution for Peros Shvius, right? So Avodavish and Peros Heter, low, says Mar, low. No, of course you couldn't. I'm not sure what your Girsa is here. What's your Girsa here? Okay, I have an additional 5 words. Low, I feel a Peros Heter, Nami, you can't even use permitted fruits during Shemitah restitution, like Dr. Spadel said before. Shema to Omer Cain, if you're doing that, lo nimtza lo keach lo kardom mi peros shviis. It's as if you're buying an axe with Shemitah fruit. In other words, you're doing schera with Shemitah fruit. And doing schera with Shemitah fruit is prohibited. So it's not exactly what you said before, which I liked, and we don't see it explicit here, is but Shemitah is not susceptible to Trumas Lemaisers. So it should be because of that. It should be not be usable to make restitution because that has to be something which was betirah Trumas Lemaisers at some point in its history. The Gemara is giving a different reason. The Gemara is saying is to make restitution brings down the issue of doing schara with Peir Shmita, which is forbidden. So I'm not sure. Maybe the Gemara chose one of two reasons. Yeah, that's what he answers. He Taka says that the Kavanoki says Sarah here. It's but now he can't use it because it's not said the Trumas and Righteous. So he says there are two reasons in the world, he took one reason. Okay, we'll stop here for this evening. Pick up again on Tuesday.
A couple things.
There's a covenant that Tal never ceases. There's no dew always materializes at night. Rather, the blanket was much wetter than the surrounding ground. And that too can be taken to be a metaphor, not a metaphor, but an illusion that Kosh Baruch was telling you there's no such thing as Am Yisrael not having merit. No such thing. Am Yisrael always has merit. Perhaps it's very little, but just like dew never ceases, so too Am Yisrael never ceases having merit. Then, that was the first miracle, and that wasn't so miraculous for two reasons. A, the ground was also wet, just not as wet, and B, the poskim, the mafreshim point out, it's natural that a blanket is going to get wetter than the ground around it. So now the Gidon said, let's try it the other way around. Vayom Gidon Elokim, Gidon said to God, don't get upset at me, and I'll try again. Anasana, and I'll try again, rakapam, but this time should be the other round, way around. Bagizo yenachorev. The blanket should be dry. Elagizo levado. Valkola oretieto. And on the rest of on the ground, there should be a dew. Now that's the opposite. And here, the Malbim says the symbolism is that even if I don't have merit, will you save Am Yisrael for their merit? And later on, in fact, we're going to see at the end of the war, at the beginning of the war, Gidon does almost everything single-handedly. At the end of the war, Am Yisrael does much more without Gidon's intervention. We're going to see that in the next parak. So what's going to be, will you do that? And here, because Baruch Taka can make the blanket completely dry. So this is indeed what happened here. The second miracle, Vayas Elokim came Balayla Hu, God did it on the second night. Vaychorev elagiz levada, and it was dry only on the blanket. Vakol aretz hayatal, and on the land, all of the land surrounding it, there was dew. Okay. Vayomer Asher vayashkem Yerubal. So the next morning, Yerubal got up early. By the way, we don't know if this happened I guess it's two nights, yeah. Okay, so now we're dealing two nights later, two mornings later. Vashkem Baal, Yerubal, Gidon. Gidon, who's Yerubal, got up. V'chol Amasharito, and all the people were with him. V'yachanu al Ein Charod, and they camped on Ein Charod. Machne Midyan ha'yolo mitzafon, and the Midianites were up north. Migivas Hamoreh, they were northerly of Givas Hamoreh ba'emek in the valley. This post is laden with symbolism. It says, Gidon here is called Yerubal. And they camp by Ein Charod. If you take a look very quickly, Pasuk Gimel, we'll come back to it in a minute, he says, Mi Yorei V'Chorei. Right? The parallel here between Yerubal and Yorei, and Charod and Chorei. But that's not all. It says that here the Midianites are camped Mitzafon Migivas Hamoreh. They were north of Givas Hamoreh. Givas Hamoreh, the Targumir translates me Givaso de Mistakayo, the hill of the scouts, where they used to gaze to see what's going on. Well, way back when, in Parshas Sefer Bamidbar, one of the places where Balak took Bilam is to the Tzofim. What's it called there? State Tzofim. And the State Tzofim, the Targum there says, Chakau Sachusa, the place to gaze as well. So there's a parallel here, that these Midianites were in the place of Tzofim, and Bilam also was taken to Tzofim. So obviously there's a correlation, which is of course that Bilam's whole power, and Midian's power, was to gaze at Am Yisrael to find the weak points. Right? Their re'iyah, their gazing, was to find where they could create strife between God and Am Yisrael by finding the weak points of Am Yisrael, the stress points, so to speak. the how does Am Yisrael correct that kind of, or fend off that kind of threat? By using the power of re'iyah, of gazing, for the right purpose. And the right purpose of gazing is to be ro'eh, to see, to have a vision, to have a perspective, to have a clarity of perspective on the right things. And what's the right kind of re'iyah? We mentioned this before. Yiras Hashem. Right? Re'iyah should lead to Yiras Hashem, which is, of course, Yira and Charada L'Shem Shamayim. To have fear and to have Charada, to have trembling for the sake of heaven. So I believe that the Yori and Chorei and Pasuk Aleph here connote the antidote for the Giva Samore, for the type of vision which was represented by Midian. And we're going to see that here throughout the parasha. That's the Kobi De Shemaim Chutz Mir Shemaim. That was the antidote for Midian. Vayomer Hashem El Gidon, God said to Gidon, Rav Amashaitach, you know, you got too many people with you. It's no good. Why? Mititius Midian, I can't give Midian over to so many people's hands. Penny Spora La Yisrael, because the Jews might then take pride and say, Lamor Yodi Oshioli, that it's my hand which saved me. The Jews were still not big ma'aminim. We never saw any mass tshuva movement here. It ain't happening. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have to make something which is going to be pretty miraculous, which everybody's going to have to know that is clearly something which I HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So you know what? V'atokro nabos ne'am, call out in the hands of, in the ears of the nation. Lamor, tell them the following. Me, Areva Choreid, who's fearful? And this is a bad fear, right? Whose people? It says, who has fearful? Pachadu b'tzion chotim, the Gemara says. If person's fearful, it means they're sinners. So take those people who have raw, bad year, bad charada, yashov, let them stand back. V'yitzbar, and in the morning they'll go home. Now the Malbim says, why are they going to go home in the morning? Because they're going to play a crucial role in the battle later on. Since they didn't go home till the morning, really they stayed behind. They stayed behind the lines, and they didn't go home, but they didn't participate in the first stage of battle. They'll participate in the later stage of battle. And God had that in mind. So Yashov, V'yitzbar, in the morning they'll go back Mihar Gilad. V'yashov, Minar, Mitzvim V'shtayim. I made a mistake here. I read this wrong, so I have a whole note here which is based on a wrong reading. So I'm just going to skip my note here, which I thought was 22,000. All right, let's skip what I wrote there in the Pasuk base. So they were left with 20,000 left, Vaseres Alofim Nisharu, and 10,000 people were left over. No, I was right.
You're right.
Yeah, Vayashim Yisrael Elof. Okay, that's 22,000. I did read it right. Okay, what 22,000 is a very significant number. Now my note is good. 22,000 is a very significant number because it says, Ein HaShgmaran in Babakanta Pegimel. Ein Ashchina Shore El Shne in 22,000 people may Am Yisrael. The Shechina rest in the minimum of 22,000 people, right? Because it says Shuv Hashem Rivavos Alfei Yisrael. Rivavos is 20,000. Alfei is 2,000. So 22,000 people left. It's a very significant number. So why did Kadosh Baruch Hu cause 22,000 people to leave? I believe Kadosh Baruch Hu was trying to make sure that they couldn't attribute anything to their superstitions. Because if these 22,000 people would say we're still left, they would say, oh, the reason why we had the Yeshua is because we had this lucky number of 22,000. So Kadosh Baruch Hu made sure 22,000 left. So that they're originally 32,000, which is also a very significant number, because in Kabbalah 32 represents a perfection of 22 plus 10. So first the 22 left. Then they were left with 10,000. That also is no good. Vayomer Hashem El Gidon, Odom Rav. 10,000 is also a significant number. 10,000, we said several times before. 10,000 represents perfection, right? Five digits. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chai, Yechida. God says, no good. Still, too big a number and too symbolic a number. Let's get rid of them. Ve'omer Hashem al Gidon, Oda Amrav, Horeda Samal Amayim, bring them down to the water. Va'atzafenu l'cha Hashem, and then I'll refine them for you. Va'yah Asher Omar Elecha Zei Lechitach, those who I say to you, they should go with you, Hu Yei Lechitach, they'll go with you. V'cha Asher Omar Elecha, those who I say, Ze Lo Yei Lechimach, they shouldn't go with you, they're not going to go with you. Va'yori Asam El Amayim, and he brought the nation down to the water. Va'yomer Hashem el Gidon, Hashem said to Gidon, Kol asher yolok bilushono min ha'mayim kasher yolok ha'kelev, anybody who laps up the water like a dog, you have to go like this. They would take the water in their hand and lap the water from their hand like a dog, because you can't drink water like this. You can't cup your hand to your mouth and drink it. You have to lap it up with your tongue. So anybody does that, tatzigo solavado, put him by himself. Anybody who bends down their knees and drinks directly from the water, put them by themselves. Those who licked with their hands were 300. 9,700 people, they bowed down on their knees to drink the water. With those 300 people who licked, those are the ones I want. Oshia Eschem, with them I'll save you. Nasati Tzmidyon Biyadecha. And I'll give me into your hands. V'cholam Yochishim Kova, the rest of them send home. Now, 300 is very significant because we don't have the time to go into today. 300 in Chazal is always a number which represents bad things. 400 is good things. 300 is bad things. Maharal speaks about great length. Reb Tzadok, all over, 300 represents bad things. So Kodesh Baruch Hu Dafka picked the number of people, which is a superstitiously bad number, like the number 13. Shem said, I Dafka want 300 people. Now, why are the 300 people who licked and not the 9,700 who bowed down? So, first of all, it says here, Litzarif. It says, V'atzafenu l'cha. And we know mitzvahs were given Litzarif b'nesabrios to refine individuals. So clearly, if a person bends down to drink, if he kneels, then it's not considered to be refined behavior. So these are the people who obviously were not trim or term mitzvahs probably, send them home. That's one shot. The Rabbah says so those who kneeled and drank were lazy. If they weren't good warriors, if they weren't lazy, they would have drawn up the water in their hands and wouldn't have kneeled down to drink. Rashi says that they kneeled down to Avodah Zarah. Why did they kneel? Because they were used to kneeling down to Avodah Zarah, and that's why they were sent home. They were idolaters. The Radak and Malbim say, amazing thing, they brought from Chazal, that they worshipped their own reflection in the water. So I guess what it means is why they worshipped their own reflection. They wanted to connect to their own powers as Tzelem Elohim, which is also Avodah Zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, people who want to connect to their own powers of Tzelem Elohim, that's what they're worshipping, their divine nature, that's also Avodah Zarah. That's people who should be sent home. And they were sent home, period. The Maharal says the other guys were sent home in the morning. And in reality, they also participated in the battle, the first 22,000. These people, the Cholam Yelchu Ishlam Kamo, these people, all of them were sent home immediately. We don't want any Oidei Avodah Zarah within participating in this battle. People who array him because are fearful because they did sins, they can participate. People of the Avodah Zarah, they have to be sent home immediately, and we have to go down.